Where's Bane?
Oh, you told him it was urgent.
Oh, where is that man?
Speak of the devil, and he shall appear.
What the hell is going on?
Our plan is proceeding as expected.
Welcome to the League of Shadows podcast. All views expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone. If you like them, I really don't care. Follow the show on Twitter at LOS_0808. You can use the hashtag LOS podcast as well when referring to the show.
Yo, been away for a little bit, a couple months or so. Decided to fire back up the show, see what's going on, get my opinion on a couple things, and that's just about it. Today's show is actually sponsored by Lionshed Electronics. Check them out at www.lionshedelectronics.com. You can find Bluetooth speakers there, different types of headphones, a couple different TVs, DVD players, things like that. Go give them a check out. Use the code FIRST10. When purchasing your first order, and you actually get 10% off your order. So again, that code is FIRST10. Go check out our sponsors at Lionshed Electronics. Now on to some other show business. Wanted to shout out a couple podcasts that I've just been sitting on, chilling out, you know, listening to over the past couple months. Chonella, Black Astronauts, Gaming Then Some podcast, which I've mentioned them on here before. There's a new one that I just added in the past, I don't know, week or so, the Slacker Society podcast. They are hilarious. What's the Tea? The Roundtable of Gentlemen. Where's My 40 Acres? Last Podcast on the Left. The Dream Team. Single Simulcast. So definitely go check out some of those podcasts. See if you like them. If you do, give them a shout out on Twitter and tell them the League sent you. Also, got a question for you guys. I heard this actually on Slacker Society and made me wonder, how many people actually fall asleep with the TV on? I used to do that. Now I actually go to sleep with podcasts on. But, you know, hit me up on actually on the Twitter and let me know what you fall asleep watching or what you fall asleep listening to. I just think it's interesting because I always thought it was weird that I fall asleep with the TV on. I just need some sort of noise and things like that just to, I guess relax me and put me to sleep. Next up on the docket is the Heartbleed bug that I read about online. It was also mentioned on the Gaming and Then Some podcast. Once again, go check, Esteban and Cherries out and tell them the League sent you. But the Heartbleed bug, it's kind of interesting because it's saying that it's a backdoor basically through a lot of encryption into, that help to protect websites and things like that, and you should definitely go get the Chrome Bleed extension if you use Google Chrome, because it will give you notification if you've hit a site that currently is or that was affected by the Heartbleed bug. Basically, what it does is that the bug gives hackers or anyone the ability to go in a backdoor and basically see what you thought would be secure communications, emails, credit card information, things like that. Go read up on it online. It definitely is a serious issue and something that needs to be dealt with, but there's not too much, I guess, as an end user that you can do because it's back in server stuff for for the actual people that run the websites and things like that. So hopefully if you are running a website, check into it, make sure that your service provider and things like that have updated their stuff so people don't get hacked, The last thing you want is people to lose their information. So, excuse me. Another thing that I want to touch upon is professional wrestling. I am a professional wrestling fan. I have been since I was like 5 years old. So it's, sort of a big deal for me, I guess. I recently got into the WWE Network, picked it up. You have access to so many just pay-per-views, just damn near their entire library of pay-per-views, all of the WCW pay-per-views. You have access to ECW stuff, WCCW stuff. Basically, when the WWE or WWF, as I originally remember them, went out and bought up a lot of the territories to make the WWF when it first started and went back when ECW was still kicking, they have all their, you know, their video libraries. They have all of WCW's video libraries from when they bought them. So definitely, if you're a wrestling fan, it is worth going and checking out. It's only $9.99 a month. They do mention it is a 6-month commitment, but they don't charge you $60 off rip. It's actually $9.99 off rip. So just definitely go check it out if you're into wrestling. You know, it's good stuff. You have stuff back from the late Ultimate Warrior that shows up on there. The late, great Randy Macho Man Savage, Hogan, Sting, all the way up through, you know, current stars right now, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, the great CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, and The Undertaker. So, you know, if you like it, give it a whirl. Check it out. To me, it's worth the $10 for all the content that you get. Now, another thing I wanted to touch upon was WrestleMania that just passed. Checked out the Hall of Fame again on the network. You can watch everyone's entrance or their acceptance speeches, I should actually say. You can check all that out. Some of it is edited because some of the speeches do go long. But they did a great tribute to Paul Bearer. They had Kane come out and actually do the introduction or the inducement of Paul into the Hall of Fame. His sons came out, and then it was followed by a very short tribute from Taker himself to the man that managed him for the majority of his career. Now, speaking with Taker, we're going to go directly into this Taker-Lesnar match. You know, it was interesting. By now, everyone knows that Taker lost. He's not 21-1. There's nothing. You don't have to look forward to the streak being defended next year. And although professional wrestling is a worked environment, it still was interesting watching the Taker every year return or wondering, you know, within these past couple matches after beating Shawn twice, beating Triple H twice, who else are you going to put in front of him? Oh, and he also beat Punk in order for him to continue to run with the streak. And there are some up-and-comers that would have been worthy of it. People you don't need to give it to because they've already been beaten, like Bautista, Cena, Triple H because he lost shit 3 times now. Shawn's retired. Mark Henry could have been a good run, I would think, but you need a little bit more build up within the plan. And WWE decided to give it to Captain Part-Time Brock Lesnar. When you go back over Brock's achievements of his career from, we're not even going to get into the NCAA shit, but if you look at from his start with the WWE, he's always been a favored individual. 3 months in, gets a strap. And not just any strap, but becomes the world champion. I take a lot of this is based on now who I consider the GOAT of all managers, Paul Heyman. Better known as Paulie Dangerously, if you go back as far as I went back to where this man was carrying around when the brick-ass gray cell phones and talking shit while managing Harley Race at an event I saw in Rockford back when I was like 10. Yes, I can go that far back. But from the promo that Heyman cut on Monday, he's the shit. Followed quickly behind by Bobby Heenan. But those two are my two best managers. So back to the match. You know, again, some people say Lesnar didn't deserve it. I'm kind of in that crowd as well because you want the person that ends the streak to be someone that can take that and build upon, you know, their career. That was the whole thing with Orton when Randy was coming up, with him being the legend killer and, you know, going through so many legends until he ran into the streak and got that ass whooped, even though he reversed a tombstone chokeslam into one of the nastiest RKOs I have ever seen in my life. But it's considered kind of like a stepping stone or definitely an honor to get into the ring with The Undertaker when it comes to the streak, because countless of performers have said he really brings it when it comes to Mania. He can lose a shitload of matches during the rest of the year, but you're not really fucking with this man when it comes to Mania. So they go through the match, you know, pretty good back and forth. Taker tried it old school a couple times. It didn't work. You can tell that Taker is getting up there. I just found out, I think he turned 48 recently. This man's been doing it for a long time. He was giving me nightmares when I was 10. So he's working through the match, and you can see that Brock, even though in his limited time back in the ring, he has gotten back into pro wrestling form. And what I mean by pro wrestling form is he's not as aggressive as what he was when he first came back from the UFC. Because when he hopped into the ring, when he came back directly from the UFC, he put a move on Vince, and you could tell he kind of took it easy because Vince is old. But when he started going in on Hunter, it seems like he kind of snapped back into reality fighting from the UFC and, you know, put it on him a little hard. He looked what I would call green, kind of Ryback-ish, where, you know, he could injure you by accident or intentionally. But Ryback shit is just, he just sucks at wrestling, and he's just a big giant goof. So, and back to the match, you know, they go back at it. There's a couple really good, you know, moves running back and forth. A couple F5s get thrown out of there. And the latter F5s, you can just watch by the way Taker drops. Something's up. Because he's just kind of like dead weight when Brock releases him for the F5. So that is an achievement amongst itself for picking up, you know, basically, I want to say Taker's like 300 pounds. And just tossing him with him basically being dead weight. But when you watch it, you run it back and you look at it, you know, Brock won it clean. And the guys backstage did a hell of a job with not playing Lesnar's music as he walked out and letting the crowd soak up what happened. And the guy that the black guy with the stunned look, as I saw him out there, I'm like, that dude's going to be famous because of that expression. By the end of the night, he was on the wall graphic for 21-1. And come to find out, if you go to the WWE's website, the guy did get to meet Triple H actually that weekend and has a touching story with Hunter and things like that. But congratulations to that guy for becoming famous, because his face is now etched in history with a historical match at Mania. Something else that happened at Mania that to me was pretty astounding, that would be Cesaro winning this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Did not see that coming. My picks were Dolph Ziggler, even though they're fucking burying him, and Sheamus, because you figure Vince still has a hard-on for Sheamus like he did when he first came out. Neither one of those cats lasted. And then the last two guys in there is the Big Show, and Cesaro. So your automatic thought is, you know, Show's going to win this shit because it's the Big Show. It's a battle royal, and Cesaro's small. Little did I know that Cesaro would pick this man up and toss his ass over the top rope. And, you know, you can say it's reminiscent of Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, but this seemed like Cesaro did this shit with ease. I haven't seen Show picked up like that since, oh, wait a minute, Cena did it, Lesnar did it. I don't think Trips did it. He may did it with a fake-ass little spine buster that he stole from Arn Anderson, but I mean, it has been done before, but it just seems like the ease that Cesaro picked him up with and put him over, that was huge. So congrats to Cesaro, and hopefully they push him because they're kind of moving him towards a face angle. I hope they keep him more on the bat, you know, on a heel angle, because we need better heels. Batista, that whole return thing did not go as well, I guess, as the WWE would have hoped, because he was bitching and moaning when he quit after that match with Cena and no one liked him. You come back and no one liked him. And I don't think it's because of the whole, oh, he took Daniel Bryan's spot in the Royal Rumble. Look, if the Troll King was to win the Rumble, they would have had put his ass in there. They didn't want him in there. The only reason why he's white hot is because of the fans just yelling yes for no apparent fucking reason. Daniel Bryan is not that interesting. He's not that entertaining. If you go back and you watch how, you know, the whole Wyatt feud thing, he needs someone else to bring him up to the level of interesting. He actually had to go into the Wyatts in order for that level, for that angle to be completely interesting. His whole run with Kane in the tag team titles and the whole therapy thing. That was made funny and interesting by Kane, not by the Troll King. So in that instance, again, he's not that interesting. He's about as interesting as Randall Orton, as Randy has been since he picked up those two titles, and or I should say was given to him by Hunter. But we're going to see how this plays, because my main concern after Mania is, what are you going to do with Daniel now? Because he's no longer the underdog. He's now at the quote-unquote top of the mountain. So you can't pull a David versus Goliath thing anymore. Yeah, you can run that authority angle so far, but you know that shit's getting a little tired too, because Triple H is just making himself into Mr. McMahon. Those of us that are older fans remember the whole corporate ministry days and the whole when it wasn't the corporate ministry, when it was just the ministry with Taker and the corporation with Shane, Vince, and all those cats. So they're rehashing old storylines for the younger folks that don't remember it. But when you pick up that WWE Network and you start going through some of these pay-per-views, you will see the similarities. So writers, step your shit up. One thing I did not like about Mania is the squash match that they put the Shield in. The Shield is phenomenal, and they should have did more of an angle between them and the Wyatts, but the fans were getting into Roman Reigns, and so they wanted to start trying to look like they're going to break it up. Then, once they made the Shield lose to the Wyatts, it kind of killed Roman's push. Roman's still going to get his push, because if you look at him, one, he's The Rock's cousin. Two, he's got the hair and build that Vince and Hunter like for their champion. Two, with his eyes, the ladies love him. He doesn't look as big of like a superhero like John looks, but Roman has the ability to be a great heel. So I'm hoping that they're not going to completely push him face, but it looks like that's what they're going to start trying to do with the Shield, is to make them face, because they've teamed him up with the Troll King to get involved in this war with the Authority. So with where that's going to right now, I'm hoping this leads out into another feud with the Wyatts, because Bray has basically been put over by wrestling John Cena in Mania, and it's good that John actually put him over. It's good that Hunter put the Troll King over, you know, in their earlier match in Mania. Those things are all good for, you know, for sports entertainment to keep the storyline going. I do wish, though, that they will bring Dolph Ziggler back up into the running for the title, because that is certainly needed. The dude's entertaining, and you can tell he's getting frustrated with getting buried, like how The Miz is being buried, how Wade Barrett is being buried. There's a lot of talent back there that's being buried, in my opinion. But like Triple H said, you got to step up and take the shit. So hopefully these guys step up and take it. But right now it just looks like it's between the Troll King, Triple H, you know, reinserting himself into it, because clearly he's supposed to be retired, but he feels that no one on that roster is able to keep an interesting storyline going, so he had to bring himself and all his damn friends back into the storyline to keep things pushing. So that should be a message to the boys and girls backstage. Step your shit up. You got an old man coming back in to run shit, and if it gets any worse, Vince may actually end up showing back up on TV. And now you know it's a problem if the old man is coming in to advance storylines. So that's enough for the wrestling talk for now. Some of you may have been bored. Meh, something that I'm into. So just fast forward onto what I've been playing on the Xbox One, which I enjoy. And hopefully I get into this beta program, because I just got an email yesterday and put in the code and everything to do Xbox One beta updates. So that'll actually be pretty cool. But on the one I've been playing, Titanfall, and a lot of 2K14. I usually don't get into sports games, but there's something about 2K14 that has attracted me to it since the days I used to play Madden, and even going back to Live 96. So I've been, you know, making my way through that. I do like their My Career mode, because there is a section in which when you get drafted, depending on how you do, you know, you get pushed into a team, but there's rookie hazing that goes on. And in my experience, when I got drafted by the Jazz, even though I didn't want to go there, and I set everything for me to hit the hometown of the Bulls, motherfuckers didn't want me. So then I was feeling like Drake for the whole team, playing, you know, worst behavior every time I played the Bulls and shit. crying, talking about motherfuckers never loved us, you know, shit like that. But I get picked on by punk-ass Richard Jefferson. And from what I find out from, you know, Esteban and a couple other people, you know, Ashy that play 2K14, they always just pick one person to, you know, kind of rookie haze you, kind of show you, I guess, what they would consider a behind-the-scenes look or whatever within the locker room. So that's a cool little feature of it. Also, another feature is that the first time I played the Heat, they had me guarding up against LeBron. LeBron's a fucking beast on this game, man. It really is ridiculous. But I think I did a good job against him, and then they actually did a cutscene where I talked to LeBron afterwards and tells, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Focus on it. He looks forward to playing against you in the future, yada, yada, yada. You know, so that's just, you know, it's a cool feature. They do have some training elements at the beginning with the tutorials where you can go through and, you know, LeBron teaches some shit about dunking. KD teaches you some stuff about shots. I think Rondo is doing stuff with passing. I don't think the Black Mamba does any training stuff. I'd have to go back and look. But 2K14, it's worth the pickup. It is coming close to the end of the season, so you should be able to find that online for sale, you know, for sale or things like that. One thing I did find out, though, with 2K, and I hope they correct this for next year, my cousin has a 360, and he was playing on 2K13. And he went to go update, you know, add on to his character and found out the servers had been taken down for 2K13. So that wasn't something that I was aware of that they did, but it kind of diminishes the replay value of their game, especially if you like playing online or doing the career mode online, that once the new year drops and they get more than halfway into the season, they just shut the servers down. That doesn't really make too much sense. So hopefully 2K lines that up, because I don't think that's anything that EA does. I think they keep it up at least for like the last two seasons. Obviously, they want you to go buy the new game, but, you know, what if you don't like the features in the new game, or they didn't do anything groundbreaking in the new game to warrant you to go from buying 2K11 to 2K12 to 2K13, you know, shit like that. I mean, my boy's still sitting on 2K, I think you said 2K12 the other day when we were talking, because there's nothing that has really pushed him into wanting to buy 2K14. So hopefully they keep, you know, the servers up, because I don't plan on buying really another basketball game until they do something more groundbreaking. I mean, you can update the rosters and shit so that that stays current. And the game itself even flips rosters around. I'm in my second year, and the Lakers have Kobe, LeBron, and Pau Gasol. And Bosh is down in the Spurs with Taj Gibson. And Wade, I think, is just now coming back from the Heat to the Heat because he got injured again or some shit. So the game itself switches it up. So enjoyed that. Of course, like I said, there's the Fall of Titans where you can just be busting, you know, people in the head. It's good shit. And it's good to play with people that, you know, with your friends that you enjoy gaming with. You can run through the campaign and do the campaign. The one knock I have on the campaign is it doesn't really matter if you win or lose. The campaign storyline still progresses. Once you're done with that, I mean, you can go do the campaign again if you want, or you can go into classic mode, and classic mode is just typical online, you know, multiplayer, you know, in regards to that. There's a ton of levels of prestiging, and you'll know what prestiging is if you did it in, I want to say Black Ops. They have it, and I believe they have it in Call of Duty as well, where you go through and you hit level 50, and then they run you all the way back down to the beginning, and you do it again. You level up, you level up, you level up, you level up. Things get harder. You get special badges and things like that, though. But, you know, good times can be had on Xbox Live with your friends playing some Titanfall. So definitely two games to check out. On to another point. Well, actually, before I jump into this point, because this next thing is a little interesting for me. But games I'm looking forward to are definitely Watch Dogs and The Crew. Because basically, if you look at my games that I've owned over the years, it's guns, cars, violence. Yeah, that pretty much sums up my my game collection, with a couple sports games sprinkled in here or there. That's just what I enjoy playing. So if you got certain games that you enjoy playing, you know, hit me up on Twitter. LOS_0808 is the Twitter for the show. Hit up the show. Let us know what you like to play, what you like to game on, any game recommendations or anything like that for the Xbox One. And it's nothing against the PS4. It's just, I don't have a PS4. And I kind of don't plan on getting a PS4 because I still have a 360. And like I said, I got the one. There is, there are some games that do kind of attract me to possibly getting a PS4. But I don't see it happening because I can just go on YouTube and watch gameplay videos. And to me, that's good enough. It's obviously, it's not the same as playing, but you get to watch storylines and things like that progress. And, some of the best quote-unquote walkthroughs are, there's a guy on YouTube named At The Rad Brad. Or actually, if you go into the YouTube and just type The Rad Brad, he has a ton of video game walkthroughs. He's been doing this, I think, since 2010. So I've gone through and I've watched a lot of his game reviews, and to me it's entertaining to watch. You know, he just did Infamous Second Son, and he goes through some of the DLC and stuff like that. Watching that game and how it looks is what makes me want to buy a PS4. It looks really, really good. It does, put out what next gen can do. So hopefully with the way things work out and with the way that game looks, I'm hoping Watch Dogs kind of looks like that, the detail and everything like that. And I am kind of hyped with Watch Dogs because I want to see what they do with Chicago. I live in Chicago, so I want to see these neighborhoods and shit that they hit because it looks like it does get outside of downtown. So do they venture out to the west side? Do they go to the south side? Or do they just go downtown up into the north side? Shit like that. I want to see how it plays. So Watch Dogs is definitely going to be a day one cop for me. Going to pull a digital. I am going to be doing digital and disc, mixing up between the two, because right now, since Xbox doesn't have a marketplace thing where you can sell off games that maybe that you digitally downloaded and maybe you just don't want them anymore, like Rise, I played it, I beat it, I tried the online mode, it's all right, but that's a game I wouldn't have a problem. Like if I owned it on a disc, I would have taken it to GameStop or Best Buy or some other place, or just sold on Amazon by now to get moving with it. So I think I may cop UFC on disc instead of doing a digital download, but definitely getting it because me and Cherries is going at the box because he's going to give it up with this Anderson Silva slander and, constantly bigging up Chris Punk-ass Weidman because, Chris is the champ, but, it's normal. It's so normal. So, just a couple inside jokes. Definitely go check out, like I said, go check out Gaming and Then Some podcasts, and you'll figure out what who Esteban is and who Cherries is. It's actually revealed in, their most recent episode. But definitely go give them a check out as I get a lot of my information from them in regards to video games and technology and things like that. And the next part I'm about to go into with this little piece of tech, I hope that they cover on their show in greater detail, because I'm not doing all the damn research that, Sterling does and that he digs into for these stories. He really gives you in-depth knowledge on tech and shit like that. But apparently, Amazon's about to hop into the smartphone game to go up against Apple and, Apple and Samsung, I should say, in regards to actual smartphones. Now, I noticed that they didn't say anything about the Goog, because Google makes a smartphone, the Nexus, but they don't actually promote it. It's just their Android operating system is on a lot of different phones, Motorola, HTC, Samsung, things like that. But they don't actually promote the phone that they make. So when there's a lot of people running around saying, hey, I have an Android phone, no, you have a Motorola or an HTC or a Samsung phone with an Android operating system. So it kind of rubs me a little bit of the wrong way when people start saying, oh, yeah, well, my Android phone's better than your iPhone. One, it's a stupid fucking comparison because Apple builds the phone from the ground up and they put their own OS in there so that way it runs all in one thing. You don't have a Samsung phone with all their Samsung proprietary shit bloated on there along with the OS. Because I do have I've got a Samsung tablet. And it has all their Samsung shit on there, which I wish I could take off of there, but I don't feel like rooting the tablet and going through all of that. But it also has the Android OS on there. And you don't need both because it kind of slows it down. I mean, I went out and bought an iPad mini because it is faster than my Samsung tablet. Even though the Samsung tablet, the screen is bigger. It's 10 inches versus 7 inches. But my iPad just moves fast as fuck because it doesn't have so much shit to go through. And the Samsung has been completely updated. I've got the current version of Android and all that shit on there. But I don't like shit that lags. That's why I use Apple, because to me, PC gets a shitload of lags with all the bloated stuff that you can get on there. But anyways, back to the Amazon topic. So I'm reading this out of USA Today, but I also came across it on a site that I follow on Twitter called Pocket INT, I want to say. They drop off a lot of tech news to me as well. But it says, Amazon.com is ready to join the smartphone wars with Apple and Samsung. Bleh. Try that again, genius. Amazon getting into the smartphone market against Apple, Samsung, and others in the second half of this year with a handset of its own. So it's probably going to end up running, actually, I shouldn't even say probably. I wonder if it's going to end up running Android, because it doesn't state what OS they're using on it. It says the e-commerce powerhouse has been demonstrating versions of this phone to developers in Seattle and San Fran recently, and apparently they've been doing this shit for years. Amazon intends to announce the phone by July and begin shipping the phones by the end of September. You say, okay, big whoop, another smartphone. What's the big deal? Here comes the big deal, and it's something that I was kind of hoping that Apple would do, just because I'm kind of a dork and, you know, just like, I guess I would consider it innovative shit. The Amazon phone will come with a screen capable of displaying seemingly 3D images without special glasses, the report said. This would give Amazon a competitive edge in a crowded market. Amazon didn't respond to USA Today's email message for comment. They also make mention of a, you know, the Amazon Fire TV, which is going to be competing with the Apple TV, but that's a separate section. If you want to hear more about that, check out Gaming and Then Some. Check out last week's episode, because they actually talk about that. It also says an Amazon phone has long been rumored last fall when speculation swirled that it may offer a free phone with or without a contract. The company told USA Today that if and when it did launch a phone, it ain't going to be free. So motherfuckers going to have to pay. But for the Pocket Intel report that I read on this phone, they were talking about that it's going to have four cameras, basically a camera at each corner that I guess is going to help it render 3D images. Suppose it's supposed to have a 12 megapixel front-facing camera, 13 megs in the rear. Again, this is all rumor. None of this shit's been confirmed because the phone hasn't been released. But it did get me kind of excited, because from what I was reading, with these four cameras at each like basic corner of the phone, it's supposed to render a 3D image. And what that made me immediately think of is R2-D2 in Star Wars when he sends out the projection of Leia and she's talking to Han and them. That would be really fucking dope if you could even just send videos that way, to where if you get a video message and you play it on your phone, you sit your phone down on its back, so that way the screen's placing up, and then this image just appears of the video, and it's in 3D, and you can run your hand through it. You know, if Apple was able to do that with FaceTime calls, that would bring that shit to another level. It's something that I've wanted for the past couple of years that would really set it apart, but the question is, how in the hell do you do that in such a small phone with these thin, small form factors? You know, obviously, to me, I would think phones would have to go back bigger to have that sort of technology, but clearly people are working on it, and I guess you really don't need a projector for it after all, if they're able to do it. So I definitely will be interested in checking out this Amazon phone if it comes out. I just want to see a demo video on it. There was another phone that had gotten me kind of hyped for the security conscious that we're looking at, you know, with all this NSA shit going on with, you know, the feds are watching. They're watching everything. Shit you see on social media, feds are watching it. And if you think I'm lying, actually go Google Twitter in the Library of Congress. All your tweets, every single tweet that you've ever tweeted, that anyone's been tweeted, is being cataloged and kept by the Library of Congress. So you can delete your account all you want. The shit's still in the Library of Congress. As a matter of fact, I read California just passed a law where minors 18 and older, or 18 and under, can actually wipe out their social networking history. It is a law. Now that they're actually going to start kicking in January 2015, where, you know, these little kids running around with drunk pictures and shit, even though they're under 21, shouldn't be drinking, and their party pictures, you know, titties out, duck faces, being idiots, being kids, they can go back as long as they live in the state of California and erase that history. So that way when employers go to look, you know, the shit doesn't come up and possibly affect you getting a job. But it doesn't handle what you do between 18 and 21 if you go to college and you're still doing titties all the way out and duck faces and getting drunk, keg stands, and dumb frat boy shit. It doesn't cover that. It's just 18 and under. It wipes all that out and keeps you being a minor. But the caveat to that is the Library of Congress keeps all your tweets. So if you're tweeting this shit out, the Library of Congress still has it. People can still go access it, because I want to say there's a lot of shit you can get from the Library of Congress via the Freedom of Information Act, where you can pull it. But essentially, if you're worried about what a potential employer may see on your, you know, if they Google you, one, don't put your real fucking name and all your personal information on Facebook, on Twitter. Keep some shit to yourself and just go anonymous. Google can only go so far when tracking someone down. So, but again, if that's a concern of yours of what you're putting out there in social media, then apparently you don't like what you're putting out there in social media if you're scared that a job's going to see it. So just be careful what you put out there and, yeah, keep some shit to yourself. So on to the next run of the show. Just a couple musical things that I've been checking out. Obviously, the Pharrell album. Love it. Love the entire album. Even the Alicia Keys song, which I'm not really a big fan of Alicia Keys. Actually, I don't like Hunter. Hunter's just a track I don't like. And Pharrell does a good job with the falsettos. He's stepping up his singing game. But I still blame him for a lot of these cats that get out here thinking that they can sing and they can't fucking sing. It simmers back to Pharrell, because Pharrell got popular for singing when he couldn't fucking sing. Hell, Snoop started trying to sing because of Pharrell. So it's his fault. Even though Skateboard's a great producer, makes great music, I still blame him for that shit. Now, Where's My 40 Acres put me up on these next two cats. And they have a phenomenal, phenomenal album review on the Freddie Gibbs and Madlib album. That shit is ridiculous. It's like 46 minutes. But if you go on YouTube and watch it, because they do put their album reviews on YouTube, one of the hosts of the show, Phenom Black, actually plays Grand Theft Auto 5 while reviewing the album. While, you know, him and Deidre and I want to say, I believe Mike's on it as well. I don't know if Twan is on that review or not, but they go over the album. Now, the reason why that enhances the actual review of the Freddie Gibbs album is because Freddie is on the soundtrack to GTA 5. Hell, I saw Rockstar, I want to say they sent out a tweet around the time that the album came out where they were creating, I think they were doing a bundle with GTA 5 and Freddie Gibbs' album to just push for more sales, but also that'll help Freddie's numbers go up. But the album is dope as fuck. Go get it. Buy it on iTunes. Don't go download it. Go buy it. And if you got Spotify, go listen to it on Spotify, but still go purchase that shit. Next up is Sahai the Prince and with his Black History project. Good Lord. That is another good album. And again, harkens back to Where's My 40 Acres. This past week, they did an interview with Tech Beats, who did a lot of production and a lot of damn near all the production on the album. One, go listen to that interview. You will learn some shit about the music industry. It's another fantastic interview that Where's My 40 Acres has done with, you know, with artists. They did a fantastic interview with a guy named, I want to say it was Chewy, but they did a great one with Stoner Product. And again, this one with Tech Beats. They're teaching you shit over there, Where's My 40 Acres, along with, you know, the ratchetry, the great stories, and, you know, show reviews and stuff that they do. It's definitely, like I said, it's a good podcast to go listen to. Check them out. And then I've been trolling around YouTube, just looking at random shit. I want to say I got sucked into YouTube, not last weekend, but the weekend before. Just hunting shit down. Came across the Prince performance, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance with Tom Petty and them. I believe I brought it up on their show prior again. was blasting that at like 10 o'clock at night because Prince loses his fucking mind on that solo. And then for some reason, I've had Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground stuck in my head. And I went online, you know, I went on YouTube and I looked and I actually found a version by Alan Stone, which will be plugged into the show probably near the end or whatever, just so you can take a listen to it. But it is a phenomenal, phenomenal version of it. And Alan Stone's a pretty good artist. I actually own his album. So, you know, again, check him out. But looks like that's the end of the docket, actually, for this episode. It's another quickie, but like I said, it's been a minute since I've done this. So I want to say the last one was around about Christmas, reminding people not to be assholes when they're in the theater and letting their kids kick the back of other people's seats. Yeah, that's what that shit was about. A couple movies that I do need to go check out. The Raid 2, which came out yesterday. Got to get my ass in the theaters to see that. I heard Cap is phenomenal. So I'm going to go check out that Cap 2. See what's going on with that. But other than that, just enjoy your time. Go watch some shit on TV. Go outside and enjoy this weather, since weather is actually kicking in. And a lot of the snow and bullshit that's been affecting, you know, basically the Midwest went over to the East Coast these past couple months has gone away. Thank you. Hopefully that shit doesn't creep in on Sunday, because I keep hearing there may be some snow here on Sunday. So that's neither here nor there. But thanks for checking out the show. Enjoy the listen. And I'm going to slide you off into a little bit of Sex and Candy on the way out. Take care.
Downtown by myself, I've had too much time to sit down and think about myself. And then there she was, like double cherry pie. Yeah, there she was, like a disco superfly. 'Cause I smell sex and candy, yeah. I'm knowing who's that lounging in my chair. I'm knowing who's that casting devious stares in my direction. Mama, surely is a dream, yeah, yeah. Surely it's a dream, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, hanging round downtown by myself, and I've had too much caffeine, and I've been thinking about myself. And there she was, in platform double suede. Yeah, there she was, like disco lemonade. Oh, 'cause I smell sex and candy, yeah. Knowing who's that lounging in my chair. Knowing who's that casting devastating in my direction. Ooh, mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, yeah. Well, mama, this surely is a dream. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream, baby. Mama, this surely is a dream. Is a dream, yeah, yeah. Lost my sex and candy, yeah, yeah. Knowing who's not lounging in my chair, yeah. Knowing who's not casting devil stares in my direction. Ooh, mama, this surely is a dream.
Gotham's reckoning. Here to end the borrowed time you've all been living on.
You're evil.
I'm necessary evil.
Also, do not forget to go and check out our sponsor this week, www.lionshieldelectronics.com. Check them out, browse through, sign up, actually, because if you sign up, they do create different codes for, you know, specific items. Usually it's a monthly thing, but if you sign up for email, you can actually get some different, you know, money off on different items, like maybe... I think the last one I got was 15% off of TVs, actually. So people like winning stuff, or not winning stuff, people like getting money off of things. And the prices are actually pretty comparable. So again, check out Lion Shield Electronics, www.lionshieldelectronics.com. Purchase something. Use the code FIRST10. Get 10% off your first order. And on that note... thank you again for listening to another episode of The League of Shadows, and we will get with you guys next time.
Leave us.